What's up, listeners? Welcome back, not for the last time, to another episode of The Shutout. Welcome to the 10th episode, our World Cup final recap episode with me, Ashwin, and my co-host, Kurt.
What's up, man?
It took some time, but we finally made it. We're ready to reflect on what's been officially called the best World Cup ever.
I like to think it took a while because you were still licking your wounds.
Yes. Yes, in more ways than one. It's, you know, I went from short-term nostalgia into real nostalgia. I remember watching that Mad Men episode where John Hamm was talking about nostalgia means cut from an open wound.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how people yearn for that pain.
Right.
And that's what I was doing. I was just yearning for that pain of missing the World Cup.
And your team, Croatia losing.
Yes, the team I was rooting for lost. They lost in an honorable fashion. But they eventually did lose. And after the final, I have begun to very much admire the French team. It's an amazing achievement from a very talented group of youngsters who are coached by someone who's pragmatic, but who has nonetheless delivered the goods and gotten the team their second star.
Nice.
Right. Take nothing away from the Croats, but the French deserve their win.
Absolutely. And I love after the game online, I was seeing a lot of memes about the Croatian president. She seemed quite lovely, by the way. Apparently, she flies coach to the games. She isn't paid when she's attending the games. All these things that definitely make her a lot more likable. Not that she wasn't likable to begin with, but you know, it was great to also see her out there giving hugs to the players. So,
yeah, that was very nice to see. I guess, you know, the team and the country needed all the support it could get. It's been very controversial, the whole setup of their team. We've talked about it before. Mm-hmm. And we're going to bring back some show notes. So we're going to actually link to a great video that I saw today from Copa 19 that it produced a wonderful video leading up to the World Cup final about how the Croatian national team managed to succeed despite everything around itself.
Right.
So great story. It's a great group of players, very talented. They've done something amazing, and it's hopefully it'll spur at least the country's football setup to do something greater, and not kind of, you know, recede into bleakness. So mm-hmm. I'm really hoping. I'm trying to remain positive. So, all right. So before we continue with the rest of this episode, where we're going to talk about basically recapping the World Cup and mention all the stories that stood out to us, the best mm-hmm. teams, the best goals, and of course, who can forget all the memes that were generated. This is the meme World Cup.
Right.
Yeah, very much a World Cup of memes. It was just a free-for-all.
Yeah. And there's one star above them all.
Oh, there's one star reigning, literally reigning above everyone. Raining spaghetti above everyone. So yep. Before we do that, we're actually going to do something that's unprecedented, never before done on any podcast ever. You can trademark that, where we basically recorded our thoughts about the final as the final was going on. And we're going to give it to you and have it all edited together with some fantastic music. It's actually the unofficial song for the French team that kind of gathered their fans together and it kind of excited them. So we're going to have that as a backdrop.
I really enjoy that song, by the way.
Yeah, it's a great song, very energetic. And, you know, we're going to put that as a background music in honor of the champions. And we're going to give you, the listeners, a kind of an unofficial play-by-play of the excitement of this wonderful final that was basically this World Cup in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. It had everything. It had own goals. It had
a lot of
yes. It had video review incidents. It had teams succeeding despite them being down. It had teams that were supposed to be on top going down, And it
a lot
had
of 90-minute plus goals.
absolutely. And it had, of course, goalkeeping errors as well. So here it is. Enjoy our recap, and we'll see you in part two.
I'm watching the tactical, or actually cable cam view on the Fox Sports app, where the camera's just twirling around the whole stadium from the sky. It looks pretty cool. Stadium looks pretty full. It's going to be awesome. Great start by Croatia, great pressing, awesome shot or awesome pass by Luka Modric with the outside of his boot. That was beautiful.
Own goal! 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 Say goal!
Unlucky own goal by Croatia. Set piece deflection. Unlucky. That was a dive, by the way, from Antoine Griezmann.
Wow. What a nice goal. What a nice goal. So I'm definitely... Wow. Oh my God, I'm watching a replay right now. So I'm definitely rooting for France because when Croatia scored... I wasn't too happy, but what a brilliant goal. Holy crap. Nice. Nice.
One one. What a goal by Croatia. What a game. What a great goal. Very deserved. Great, great move. Great team goal. Awesome performance by Croatia. 1-1. We're tied. What a final. What a World Cup. First ever video review penalty given in a World Cup final. It wasn't as tense as you would think because it looked like it was a clear handball. So Croatia facing a penalty against France.
Yup, penalty kick a coming. Penalty kick a coming. Wow. Croatia is first they had an own goal. Now they had a handball. They are imploding. Wow. They're not making this easy for themselves. There we go. Goal! 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 Goal!
First ever Fortnite celebration in a World Cup final also. Ever. Ugh, I'm not sure we needed that.
We're at the 44th minute, and Croatia has had a lot of close calls. It feels like Croatia is better on the attack, and they've had more chances. They're just not going in right now. It seems like after halftime, they usually figure it out, and I think France might be in trouble, but we'll see. It's currently 2-1 France. Oh my God, what a sequence. First, France scores 3-1 with an incredible goal where the goalkeeper's weight was already shifting left and he couldn't get back right, but he saw the ball, he saw it. And then just now, they had a sequence where Mbappe did a bicycle kick, an overhead kick, and there was another French player right in front of the goal, and the Croatian player, I believe, stopped it. Wow, what a sequence. France looks like they're turning it on now.
How deep of a hole can Croatia dig themselves into time and time again? France has been an expert at taking advantage of Croatia's mistake. Yeah, that's all they've done.
Mbappe! Yes, sir! What a... Ooh, nice! What a kick, what a move! The guy was totally going the wrong way. Nice. Oh, beautiful goal. Beautiful goal by the 19-year-old.
Poor Croatia. France are deserved winners. They weathered the storm perfectly. They soaked up the pressure and they hit Croatia where they were hurting the most on the break. So France 4-1, 67 minutes in. It's over. Game is back on. It's 4-2. Terrible mistake from the French keeper. What was he thinking? Game on. 20 minutes to go. 10 minutes per goal. Come on, Croatia.
France has won the World Cup. They've won the World Cup. Yay! I wish it was Belgium or England, but whatever. Congrats, France.
Whew. All right. That was amazing.
Yeah, that was something.
It takes me back.
I especially like your change from being really solemn about the own goal till the end there when you thought, 4-2, maybe something's going to happen.
I was dividing the minutes left by the goals that they needed. And even when the ratio was 5 seconds per goal left, I still had some hope because this World Cup.
Right. Yeah, of course. This World Cup in Croatia, especially. In this World Cup.
Right. Wonderful story. And I think that's what makes it the best World Cup ever. So here's something I never actually mentioned before while we were doing this, while we started this podcast and while we were covering this run. Basically, Kurt, me and the World Cup. And so in 2010, I achieved what I call World Cup stasis. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that, so Spain was a World Cup winner. During that tournament. And I was a fan of the Spanish team for a long time because I was following the league and the following team from there, Real Madrid. And so I had been watching that group of players throughout tournaments, and they were failing and failing despite being so talented, always coming unstuck, always being unlucky. So in 2008, Spain won the European Championships, and that was basically the start of their golden generation success. But they were a golden generation that succeeded. Mm-hmm. So when they won in 2010, I achieved World Cup nirvana. So I felt like, wow, a team I was rooting for, I saw them start from where, you know, when they were really young and they came to the World Cup and they won the whole damn thing.
Right. So, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. So in 2014, I was flittering in and out. And then what made it even worse is that Spain actually crashed out in the first round. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't too involved with the 2014 edition. So, and even, you know, when this 2018 edition was coming up, of course, there were all the Russia stories and what is it going to mean and all the jokes about Vlad and all that stuff.
Right.
But I was really excited about doing this podcast. So when we started doing this podcast, we did the first episode with all the previews. I still had no idea. You know, I was still, you know, football. I love football. So I'm going to watch this tournament because I love football. Right. But then this World Cup made me fall in love again with football. It was a summer romance with the beautiful game.
So, that's right, the beautiful game.
So that's why I truly think this is the best World Cup ever, because it has rekindled, or it has affirmed, let's say that, it has affirmed my appreciation and admiration for this amazing sport.
Outside of the World Cup, which you touched on a few minutes ago, you do follow the club games, and Real Madrid is your team of choice, right?
Yes, I follow that religiously, almost to a fault.
Right, and they've had success. So,
yeah, they've had a lot of success.
Passion was still burning for you then.
Yes, oh, absolutely. You know, not the passion for the sport, but the passion for international football, which right, and which also, to be fair, it was generally on the wane throughout. You know, throughout the world, because club football is so successful. There's so much money, so much attention, so much eyeballs devoted to the club games. But when you saw these teams at the World Cup, these countries just playing their hearts out, it just reaffirmed that there's nothing else like international football.
Right.
And that was great to see.
To really think about it, and the announcer touched on this at the beginning of the game, there's nothing else, there's no other event that's watched simultaneously around the world like the World Cup, with so many countries involved and so many people with allegiances watching, right, and hoping that their team makes it out. So yeah, it's pretty remarkable, I would say.
Yeah, it really is. Of it,
even.
It really is the global game. And, you know, from Mongolia to Maryland, from Acapulco to Argentina, you know, it's it's pretty brilliant. And, you know, even if you think back to like 3 years ago, you know, there were FIFA executives hauled out of a hotel in Switzerland. Right. And the Attorney General of the United States was pressing corruption charges against this organization. Mm-hmm. So it's not perfect. The people who run the sport are not perfect. Right. You know, they don't even, sometimes some of them don't even deserve to be there. But this sport is built in such a way that it can succeed despite itself. Mm-hmm. And for that, you only have to look at Croatia. So right. The sport is, I feel like it's the most, the best expression of sport as art, I feel, because it just succeeds.
Whoa, that's a big statement.
Right. And, you know, we can devote more to that in a future episode, but
right,
the way it's played, mm-hmm, you know, it flows. So there's no stops. So it flows from one end to an end, right? And then there's stuff going on. There's players. Sometimes the way they move, it's like a dance, because if right, they don't move their bodies in a certain way, they're not going to get out of a situation. There's not going to be any space for them to move. So and they have to move so fast, but when they move really fast, it kind of feels like time slows down. So all those things together, I feel like it's a very artful expression, this sport.
Let me dive in here and ask you a question, because this brings up a conversation I had with my dad. So a lot of people are saying this is the best World Cup, right? And I think you'd agree in recent memory, or as far as you can remember, this is the best World Cup, right?
Right.
So my dad thinks that, well, he thinks the best World Cup was the best World Cup and soccer was played maybe back in the 90s or late 80s. What he said is, especially Brazil, he liked the Brazil game before, where they were playing Brazil style of soccer, where now he thinks they're switching to more of a European style. And he said that Brazil style of soccer, I guess, is more flair and stuff like that, which I guess ties into what you're saying about the sport being an expression of art. Probably the old style of play that Brazil personified. What do you think about that?
I agree, but that's an indictment of Brazil, not the sport itself.
Okay, got it.
I would feel that's a verdict on Brazil being basically not unsuccessfully coping with the challenges that the European teams have presented to them, right? Mm-hmm. So Brazil, for instance, the 1982 version of Brazil is considered probably the best team ever after the 1970. Okay. Yeah, okay. Because and they didn't even win the World Cup in that time.
Yeah, I think my dad actually touched on that team, but yeah.
Right. But that group of players, they played possibly the purest expression of football, and especially Brazilian football ever. Mm-hmm. After that, you can go to the 1970 team, which actually did win the World Cup. But the thing is that lately, Brazil has been trying to adapt. And for instance, this version was praised for being more defensively sound. Mm-hmm. And that maybe became to a detriment of their attacking flair. So I feel that the thing is that Brazil needs to adapt, mm-hmm, while the sport is adapting around them. And Brazil being Brazil, you should never count them out, because they will always find a way. And remember, they're still the team with the most wins.
Right.
But they're just going through a period of transition. The only problem is that a World Cup comes around every 4 years. So that period of transition is just longer.
Got it.
So I think that, you know, and the thing about the sport is a lot of people feel that there's only one way to play the sport. And that's how some teams get undone. For instance, Spain and Germany thought the only way you could play the sport is by just passing the ball around. But if you pass the ball around and you don't make any direct runs and if you don't take any risk, then you're going to get stuck. So you might have had a lot of the ball, but you never did anything with it.
So what is the – oh, actually, I guess we can probably talk about that on another podcast, like more about the strategies and, like, I guess it's
right.
Like tiki-taka.
Right, but my feeling is that there shouldn't be just one way to win or to play the game. And if people start thinking that way, that this one particular way is the best way to play, then you're going to paint yourself into a corner, and then a few cycles later, you're going to come unstuck. So I think that's the mistake people shouldn't make, is that you shouldn't think that there's only one style to play or one style to win. Because in any form of sport, there's always ways that you can figure things out, that you can always, there's always ways you can kind of creatively engineer a solution to the problem. And that's what makes it so fun, you know, seeing teams try and figure out, like, for instance, England, they weren't the best team with the ball. They basically couldn't score from open play, but they played to their strengths by really working hard on set pieces because that's all they could do. Now, this team has gotten to know each other better. So maybe they'll be more prepared with a style in the next tournaments. So I'm very hopeful because I've seen a lot of stuff during this tournament to give me hope for international football.
So Qatar 20, what is it? 22?
Yes.
Yes. All right.
So I'm sending you there. You're going to be our man on the ground. You're going to be embedded.
No, no.
Actually one of us will be there.
You know what? I'll send you there.
Most likely you will be there reporting live. So in the next 4 years, what we're going to be doing is just basically working towards the next World Cup.
Right.
It's going to be a slog, but we're going to work hard to get you to Qatar.
You know what? If we hit 1 million, if we hit 1 million listeners, then sure, why not?
Listeners or listens?
Whichever one is more difficult to attain.
Listeners.
Right. Yeah. Whichever one is more difficult, we're going to go with that one.
Right. But you do realize that it's not difficult to get you to Qatar, right? It's just one flight.
No, it's difficult to get to 1 million listeners.
Right. So don't you think the more difficult thing is to, if you think that it's difficult to get to Qatar, don't you think that that's something we should aspire to?
No, no. We'll see what happens. You know what? We might both end up in Qatar. How about that?
Yes. I think that's more likely than you just being there by yourself.
We'll see.
All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the future. Let's recap the present. So, best teams. I'm going to just say, I mean, the best team for me to watch was, besides Croatia, I'm going to say Belgium. Every game of theirs was great, thrilling. Their players, when they combined, it was just so fun to watch. Just stuff coming off. Even the third place game against England was great to watch, at least with whatever they pulled off. So
yeah, I'd agree with you. Belgium was my favorite team to watch in the tournament,
right,
for sure, for certain.
Right. And then, of course, we had great games. I think this tournament was defined more by games than teams itself. For instance, the Spain-Portugal game.
Right.
I kind of feel like the World Cup, and I think maybe it's good because that was the high bar. And then other teams kind of had to figure out other ways to get close to that. So that game was great. The Mexico-Germany game. Oh yeah.
That was exciting to watch.
And the Germany-Sweden game with that last-minute goal where Toni Kroos basically unlocked the Swedish defense with that IKEA Allen key. That's a joke I stole from a Guardian cartoon, by the way.
It's good, though.
Yeah, it was
I'm
a great cartoon.
Glad you brought it with you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and what else?
The Belgium... Brazil game.
Japan. The Belgium-Brazil game was great.
Oh, and the Belgium-Japan
game. The Belgium-Japan game. Yeah. Oh,
and the Belgium-France game.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Yeah, just about anything with Belgium was good.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. And, you know, those great games, basically, you know, it led us to some kind of stories that kind of popped up with this tournament. For instance, no African and South American teams in the latter stages. African teams didn't even make it to the knockout rounds.
Right. Yeah.
We had Nigeria win one game. We had Senegal win one game. Senegal got knocked out due to the fair play ruling.
Right.
Which had only
It
had only been used once before, and it was used in such cruel fashion because Japan and Poland stopped playing, and Japan didn't take any risks. Poland was happy with the one goal that they scored to take them for a win, and poor Senegal got knocked out. So, yeah, Nigeria got knocked out at the expense of Argentina. So, unfortunately, even though they didn't do well, there's still hope for France because, of course, they have an amazing collection of players, a great diaspora around the world, as we saw with the eventual champions, France. Mm-hmm. So I don't think all hope is lost. So what I can say is that at least, you know, personally speaking, that this result is not an indictment on the future of African teams in this competition. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they'll be back and they'll actually do well. South American teams, though, I think that's where there might be a bit of an issue because the only South American team to go furthest was Uruguay. They reached the last day, the quarterfinals. And
Brazil as well.
And Brazil. But I feel like Uruguay had a better chance if their star striker was fit.
Is that Cavani?
Edison Cavani. That's correct.
Cavani.
Right. Brazil basically... I feel like the problem with Brazil is that there's something... They're not a finished story yet. So they've maybe got the defense down, but what they probably need is a better midfield. And just, you know, they have a great group of attacking players, as we all saw. But then they became undone because their star player couldn't help but attract all this attention, unwanted attention to himself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and a lot of the consensus was that I read was that even if Neymar wasn't playing, maybe Brazil would be better off.
Really? Right. Do you believe that?
I do believe that. Because
I saw him make some pretty spectacular plays, some nice passes that some of his guys just couldn't capitalize on, especially in the, I think it was the Belgium game?
Right.
Yeah. And so I find that as much as I give Neymar a lot of crap, I find that hard to believe because he got better with the tournament.
Right, he did. He did get better with the tournament. Mm-hmm. Right. But unfortunately, not good enough.
Right, yeah.
So maybe it's just a question of maturity.
Maybe. And it feels like he maybe learned a lesson as the tournament went on. A lesson. I don't know. Because it definitely appeared that he was less willing to roll around on the floor by the time they played Belgium.
Right, which is probably too late. So if he, So I feel like probably if he had practiced not rolling around in the earlier games, then he would have been fine with that. And
do me a favor, just what does practicing not rolling around look like?
It basically means not giving in to your worst instincts.
How does he practice that? Is that something he has to do in front of the mirror, or does he do that in pregame warm-up?
I think you can actually practice it in front of the mirror. So what you do is you stand in front of the mirror, you're running around, you pretend somebody's going to come in and foul you. You actually do get fouled, but then you just keep running. Or you actually fall down, but you don't roll. So maybe one roll instead of 20. How about that? One roll.
Oh, right. There's so much that he needs to work on.
Right.
Yeah, between falling and the 20 roll.
Right. So let me ask you this question. So, you know, we've discussed the team. So let's talk about the best players. So you think Neymar is going to be mentioned in the best 11 of the tournament?
Ah, wow.
As somebody who watched your fair share of basically all the games in the World Cup, What do you think? Do you think he merits?
Yeah, I think he might merit.
Right, because on paper, right, he's probably top three in the world. But looking at this tournament, do you think there were better players? I think there were better players on the Brazil team than him.
Really?
Yes.
Or are you going to say
Felipe Coutinho?
Yeah, Coutinho. Yeah. Is that his name, Coutinho?
Felipe Coutinho.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I remember. I recall him early on, maybe not, but in the latter stages, he made some really good plays. And I think by the end of the tournament, he was definitely the best player on his team.
I don't know, man. I think you got to be ready. When FIFA announces their best 11, be ready for Neymar to be left out.
Oh, yeah. If he's left out, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it's going to be as controversial as it would have been before the tournament started.
I guess what I should say is if he shows up on the best 11, and of course, I'm no expert. As a matter of fact, I'm hardly an amateur at this. I'm below amateur. Anyway, if he ends up on there, I mean, I wouldn't be upset, you know, but it would probably be just because of his reputation for being the third best player in the world. That would probably just get him on there alone. But I, by the end of the tournament, I thought he was playing really well.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was too late.
Definitely was too late, but still.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Who throw out who would be on your best 11 besides the golden ball winner and whoever got the golden boot?
Oh, Harry Kane, definitely.
Harry Kane, that's right.
Kylian Mbappé. And definitely Luka Modric, just like you said. I would say Felipe Coutinho, Eden Hazard. Let's see here. We're going to go through the teams. See, to be in the best team of the tournament, I feel like you have to be at least in the quarterfinals, right? So you narrow your selection to the best eight teams. So we can have somebody. Oh, the right back. Is he right back? I don't know. Anyway, the fullback from England, Kieran Trippier, he scored that free kick against Croatia. I think he was great. He was a good he scored the first goal against Croatia within like 5 minutes, like the free kick.
Is that the header?
No, the free kick.
Oh, the free kick.
Yeah.
Okay, no, I'm not remembering.
He's,
okay.
He's been really good. He actually had some good deliveries as well. KDB, even though he fizzled out against France, mm-hmm. I would say Paul Pogba. Mr. Yezzer, he's been good. Antoine Griezmann was great. Rafael Varane, mm-hmm. He's the French defender. He scored against Uruguay.
Griezmann is the guy who – Griezmann made the free kick, right, against
yes,
Croatia?
Yes, he's the one with the Fortnite celebrations.
Right.
Who else? I'm sure there's somebody I'm missing. The Belgian goalkeeper, he already won best goalkeeper of the tournament. Who else can we say? Who else am I missing? Who else stood out? I don't know if you want to go with Romelu Lukaku because I feel like we can go for him because besides his goals, he actually set up his teammates very well, even though he didn't give him like an actual assist, but he created a lot of space. So I'm gonna put Big Boy Rom in there. That's about all I can do. Ivan Perisic, he's the guy who scored the equalizer for. Croatia in the final, he was great. Mario Mandzukic, he was great. Ivan Rakitic, who was next to Luka Modric in the Croatian midfield.
Wait, that sounds like more than 11. Is that 11 yet?
I think that's about 45 players that I've mentioned. I'm not keeping track. I guess what I'm saying here is let's wait when the FIFA announces their 11. But these are the players that I think had a great tournament.
And, yeah. It's definitely easier for me to, to critique.
Right. And I'm going to mention.
Come up with my own.
Yeah, because it's hard to remember all of them, you know. And just right now, I thought of one. The Russian player, Denis Cheryshev.
I was going to ask you if you didn't have any Russians on your list.
Yeah, definitely. That one Russian. Out of all the Russians, he was, I think he's the best one. He had some great goals. Great player. He actually plays for Real Madrid, but he wasn't, he's been loaned out. He was actually born in Spain, believe it or not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
Oh, one of these podcasts, you're gonna have to explain to me how the loaned out thing goes. That's not a concept in American sports.
Right. right. Definitely. We're gonna discuss our future plans and some of the things we're gonna cover at the end of this episode for sure.
Got it.
All right. So after you know, we talk about the teams and the goals. We haven't discussed any goals.
Oh no, we haven't.
All right, let's do it. Best goals. Who you got?
You know, it was in group play, but it was so memorable.
Oh, that doesn't matter.
The Ronaldo free kick. Oh,
great, great choice. Yeah,
is it?
It doesn't matter where it comes from, when it happened. If it's memorable for a reason.
Yeah, when he made that free kick.
Yeah, because it was at the end of the game, right? And it felt like the moment was so perfect. And there was a feeling, an inevitability, even though he doesn't score many free kicks, there was an inevitability about the way the game had gone, the way he had stepped up, that he was going to score.
Yep, and that's when he had his hat trick.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That was great. The other goal in the game from Nacho, where the right back, when the ball came in and then he just spun it into the goal. Well, actually, you know, he kicked it, but the ball spun. France, their right back had a similar goal. The who else? Angel Di Maria for Argentina against France had a similar long range goals. That Belgium goal though against Japan, that winner.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes, that goal was incredible.
That was just
incredible. The situation and, of course, the goal, which almost looked choreographed.
Yeah, because that game in itself, that was just a great game. Then utter deflation for the Japanese when they thought that they were going to go into extra time. But Belgium just basically, like you said, you know, just connected the dots and choreographed the whole move, even the dummy from Big Boy Rom. That was just brilliant. That was probably the move of the tournament.
Right. Yeah, that was a pretty sweet move.
Yeah, that was awesome goals at this World Cup.
Yep. I'm trying to think. The thing is, right, with so many of the goals, you say, wow, what a goal. That was a great goal. And I felt like I was saying that a lot this tournament.
Right.
Yeah, definitely felt like I was saying that quite often. What is it? Philippe Coutinho.
Right.
Yeah, he had a goal that was pretty good early on.
Yeah, against Switzerland. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that was a pretty wicked goal.
That's actually his standard goal. That's how he scores most of his goals, believe it or not.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, he's on the outside of the box, and he kind of curls the ball in.
Nice.
And then you know, the thing that makes it so hard, like it's you know, when you're static, when it's like a free kick, you kind of have a better way to kind of gauge how you're going to put the ball in the net. But when it's from open play, when you're just, you know, everybody's running around you and you're trying to come to a stop and then put the ball in, it's very hard to do. So it's I definitely agree. That was a great goal. And, you know, there were 169 goals in this tournament, too short of the record, which was set in the last World Cup.
Oh, nice. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
And the only reason it's too short is because Germany scored 7 on Brazil.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So
in one game, there were seven goals by one team.
Yeah.
I was going to also mention the, I don't know if it was a great goal or not, or what you would call it, but it was memorable. In the final, when the French goalkeeper basically gave the ball back to Croatia, and I don't know the guy's name, but he was able to get around.
Oh, yeah, Mario Mandzukic.
Yes, that
goal. Yeah, that was just hilarious.
What a crazy sequence of events.
Yeah, as you remember from our recap, that was basically a goal that just reinvigorated me.
Yes, yes, it did. What happened? Could you tell me what exactly was going on there?
He was trying to play it. So instead of kicking it out, he was trying to play it out. So basically control the ball and then kick it through. Like he was kind of trying to go around Mario Mandzukic, Hugo Lloris, the French goalkeeper. He was trying to go around the guy instead of just kicking it away, you know, like hoofing it away from the player. He was, you know, he was probably thinking, oh, we're 4-1 up. I can try and control this and then I'll go around him and then I'll pass it to my defenders. But nah.
Yeah, that was that definitely made me pause.
Yeah.
But yeah, thankfully that was all it was.
Yeah, I was I was hopeful it would be something, but I guess by that time the Croatians were really tired and it was gonna be a bridge too far for them.
Yep.
So those were the best, I would say the best goals of the tournament. And now we come to the topic that everyone's interested in. And I would say it's the most important topic, the favorite memes.
Oh, yes. And there is one person that starred above them all.
Right. There was a one person meme generating machine at this World Cup, in this World Cup of memes. You know, we had the Belgian player celebrating the goal by kicking the ball in the post, and then and the ball just basically bouncing smack right in the middle of his face.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
There were so many memes. But of course, we have to give it up. If there's one thing Neymar's going to win in this World Cup, it's the Meme King Award.
Yep. Definitely the Meme King.
It started with his haircut in the first game.
Yes.
What would you call this one, Kurt? What would you call his hairstyle in the first
I think one of the memes summed it up by just putting a spaghetti on someone's head.
Right.
It looked like spaghetti. That's
spaghetti, no meatballs.
Spaghetti, no meatballs. Yes, that's perfect. Yeah.
And then that particular game also had him just rolling around in various configurations, and that in itself, I guess somebody just got all those pictures together and then laid them out all in the grass.
Yes,
a great formation of him, a great abstract art painting.
Yeah, they have one. Did you see the Neymar alphabet where they have him forming all the letters?
Right.
That's the
right.
one you're talking about, right?
Yeah, that's the one where he's in various configurations of pain, we'll call it.
Yes. Yeah, that's the one. And then there's the one where he, they have him rolling, where he basically rolled 20 times. And so they just took that and then inserted it into a bunch of videos, him crashing through walls, in traffic, rolling along cars. It was incredible.
Yeah, it was so incredible to watch. As you know, as soon as he did something in a game, when that particular one where he rolled around forever. It's something that you know, when you play and then you're trying to make fun of people simulating in the game, that's what you do, you know? Like I do sometimes when I was playing and then I got a little foul or a little kick, I was just rolling around forever. I never thought I would see that in a World Cup game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I've seen plenty of games where players are running around at high speed and then they get fouled and then they run around roll over like maybe twice or something. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But not like this. Not like this at all.
Yeah. No, it was, he took it to another level, to the point where they had the Neymar challenge with coaches yelling Neymar and then kids rolling on the ground.
Right.
Yes.
It was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. And some of these can be seen on the Shutout Podcast Instagram account, the Shutout Pod. So check that out.
Absolutely.
Definitely right. Try to represent for Neymar.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, since Neymar's not going to be around in this, this World Cup's not going to be around. So that means we won't have Neymar in this World Cup. You just follow us at the Shutout Pod.
Right. Exactly. And
we're going to be the meme king.
I'm trying to think of the other ones. The one when Belgium was beat by France and they basically had Thierry Henry in the meme switching jerseys. Then they had a lot of stuff. Like, they had memes of him trying to not look happy that France won. Which was just, yeah, that was good stuff.
Yeah, boy, Thierry Henry. Yes, that's hilarious, I think.
Oh, and how could I forget all the memes of Ronaldo? At first, it was Germany going home. So we had like Ronaldo carrying Portugal, Messi's carrying Argentina, the airplanes carrying Germany.
Right.
Yeah, so we had that. And then eventually we had Ronaldo and Messi meeting at the airport. So yeah, there were some great ones. There were some great ones. Really enjoyed it.
Loved it. Yeah, loved it. The people had a field day with all the memes, and yeah, loved it all. All right. So yeah, with that meme recap, we come to the end of our actual recap of this World Cup. Best World Cup ever, best memes ever, and we're going to miss it. But that does not mean that you listeners will have to miss us, because we are going to be back at the start of the European soccer season, the European football season, which will resume in August. And what we are going to do, or what we are going to attempt to do, is cover the leagues at the end of every match day, which usually is on Sunday. So we'll be doing episodes on Monday to recap the previous weekend's action. And through that, we kind of, you know, hope to bring you the excitement, the passion, the fervor that was generated during this World Cup into a weekly package for all of you guys. Some of you may be casual listeners. Some of you may be, you know, longtime soccer watchers, like, for instance, like Kurt's dad. But we want to keep this going. We want to keep this excitement going, and we want to share with you our love and excitement for this game. So we've decided that we're going to continue this podcast, and we're going to cover all the leagues, son, all the leagues.
We're as long as we get to cover Juventus, I'm there.
We're going to cover Juventus and Juventus only. So yeah, we definitely look forward to that. We're going to, you know, and if we do this weekly, we're going to be able to cover a lot of stories more in depth, kind of show you why this sport is so popular, why there's so much money in it, how the money is distributed around various teams and various countries. Mm-hmm. How do players, how do famous players get famous? How clubs find all these players, how are the TV rights generated, how is the sport covered in the States versus Europe, and
these are all questions I have, so I'm looking forward to it. I won't even do the research before. I'll let you enlighten me on air.
Oh, that means I have to do the research?
No, you already know the answer to these things, so you'll just enlighten me on air.
Don't listen to him, listeners. We actually do research on the show.
Of course we do.
Yeah. But no, so that's, basically an idea of what we want to do with the show is we want to make you as excited as we are about this sport. So hopefully we're going to do that, and we look forward to covering soccer and football for you, and we kind of want to become the premier destination for all of you when it comes to soccer. So with that said, signing off for the last time at World Cup 2018, it's Ashwin, my co-host Kurt. Thank you so much for all your input, for all your pretending about not knowing anything about the sport.
Trust me, it wasn't pretending. But thank you so much for all your research, all the late nights you spent doing the editing, uploading it, trying to get it uploaded before the next game. So thank you for all of that. It was wonderful. I enjoyed my time here. Thank you for asking me to do the podcast with you, so I can sit here and enjoy all your insight and your passion for the sport.
Well, we wouldn't do it if we didn't love this. So thank you so much. And thank you so much, listeners. Before we start our next batch of episodes and we resume with the start of the European soccer season, keep following us on social media, on Twitter, on Instagram. We're at the Shutout Pod on Twitter and Instagram as well. We're going to be posting very frequently. Leave us your messages. Leave us your comments. We would love to hear from you. And as always, we're going to feature you in our next episodes when you mention us. So keep following us. Keep posting. Keep the love alive. Thank you, everybody.
Bye.